Uncle Sam to the rescue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The federal government is pulling out all the stops to help the economy. President Bush signed the $300 billion mortgage rescue bill into law this morning. It's meant to bail out around 400,000 struggling homeowners and give financial backing to troubled mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The housing market seems to need all the help it can get. The number of mortgage applications plunged more than 14% last week. And the Federal Reserve is doing its part. The Fed said today it will extend its emergency borrowing program for Wall Street firms. The move is supposed to help keep the credit market from seizing up. And hey, Wall Street loves a good intervention. It also loves low oil prices, and it got a good shot of both this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1.25% to 11,541. The NASDAQ is up 0.6% to 2334. The S&P 500 is up just over 1% to 1276. And things might be humming on Wall Street, but Main Street is singing the blues. Businesses are getting hammered by the combination of high fuel prices and frugal consumers. Restaurant chain Bennigan's and Steak and Ale filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy yesterday. The two chains will close hundreds of locations across the country and put hundreds of people out of work. And Mervyn's filed for Chapter 11. The department store chain will stay open during its reorganization, though. And things are still cooling off for Starbucks. In addition to all those coffee shops it's closing, Starbucks announced it's eliminating 1,000 office jobs. Not to say things are looking so good for small businesses either. A federal program that has given more than $2 billion a year to small enterprises runs out of money in the fall. A Senate committee takes up that issue today. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk, Mitchell Hartman explains.
Cybernet Systems in Ann Arbor, Michigan, used an award from the program to invent a robotic device the Army is now using in Kuwait. Heidi Jacobus is CEO.
So what we can do is recover from vast piles of returned ammunition, ammo that is good. That process had been done by hand.
But the House bill would also let high-tech and biotech companies that are owned by venture capital firms bid for the grants. Emily Mendel of the National Venture Capital Association says these are small businesses too.
There is a common misperception that a company that receives venture capital backing has either, one, hit the jackpot, or two, is backed by a large corporation, neither of which are true.
Small business advocates counter that these firms already have plenty of access to R&D funding, and they'll muscle out true small-scale entrepreneurs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
World trade talks fell apart yesterday after 7 years of on-again, off-again negotiations. The U.S., China, and India couldn't reach an agreement on farm tariffs in the end. And, of course, the U.S. just isn't the 800-pound gorilla we used to be. So what will this mean for global trade? Jennifer Collins takes a look.
Splits caused by the Doha round of talks are going to be tough to repair. As the members of the WTO head home, many are wondering how world exchanges will look in the future. Trade experts warn the collapse of these negotiations could spark a kind of land grab for new trade deals. Countries with booming economies might find easy access to markets like the U.S. But Carl Mordashed of the Times of London says poorer nations might find themselves left out.
If you're Burkina Faso or Mali, there isn't a great deal you have to offer the world, but you do need open doors if you're going to develop your economy.
U.S. negotiators say they will continue to try to iron out plans with developing nations, but developing countries will likely have to wait until after the presidential election, and any deals will still require Congress's approval. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at SaveAndInvest.org.
The Georgia Aquarium in Atlanta isn't even 2 years old, but it's not sitting on its flippers. This summer, officials are breaking ground on a $110 million expansion. The reason? It's all about economics. Odette Youssef explains.
Atlanta is right near the top of any list for business conventions, but as a tourist destination, not so much. Some hope the aquarium will change that and bring business travelers back for fun. Augusta, Georgia resident Patty Cook may be evidence that it's working. On this peak Friday afternoon in the aquarium's food court, she settles into a table with her two granddaughters.
Well, we're on the way to my mother's, who lives in Columbus, so this was like a stop halfway to her house.
This is Cook's second visit to the Georgia Aquarium. She first came last year on a business trip. The man who built the aquarium believes others will also come back.
Georgia has never, ever been a tourist place.
Bernie Marcus, co-founder of Home Depot, which is based in Atlanta, opened the aquarium in 2005.
People would come here for conventions, and men would come by themselves, or the spouse would come by themselves, and then they'd get out of here. By the weekend, they'd be out of here. Today, they're bringing their families, and they're staying an extra day or two, and this adds to the economic impact.
But sustaining that economic impact is hard. Aquariums typically struggle to maintain the high ticket sales they see during their first year. Marcus hopes the pricey new dolphin wing, where you'll be able to swim with the marine mammals, will help the aquarium avoid that fate.
If you just stand with what you had, you cannot be successful. People just don't want to come back and see the same thing over and over. There are some that do, but most of them won't.
So is Marcus ready to invest $110 million every few years just to keep things fresh? He doesn't think it'll always take that much to bring people back. Georgia State University professor Bruce Seaman says the aquarium's pressure to innovate is getting lighter because other new attractions are opening nearby.
There's no doubt that having something like the aquarium, the new Koch Museum, the Children's Museum, this is helping slowly but surely to justify extending that stay an extra half day or an extra night.
It's also transforming downtown Atlanta. The Coca-Cola company poured $96 million into a revamped museum that opened last year next to the aquarium. And Georgia recently announced a new National Health Museum to be built nearby. In Atlanta, I'm Odette Youssef for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.